I've been talking over with Joe, Dr. Spira, talking about the what the effect of singing is. When I'm in prison, the fellows always like to sing, and like to sing stuff that gives praise to the Lord. And I like what if you take the sheet there, and we sing a lot of choruses. I mean, one thing that the prisoners like choruses is they're easy to remember. And when they're out in the yard, if you know what being out in the yard is, they go out and walk around the track to get exercise. They can't go around with their Bibles witnessing to folks. And many of the prisoners are on the job. I mean, they're telling other fellows their need of the Lord. But they can sing. And one prisoner told me that he and another fellow, they would go around singing one of these choruses, go walking amongst the men, you know, singing praise to God. And yeah. Okay, down the right-hand corner, so there's the one, I love you, Lord. And then the following one, we're going to do that one also, the one I will offer you praise. How many of you know any of these choruses? You know these? Okay. Well, then let's worship together. Let's not just sing them. Let's worship the Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you.
I'd like you to turn with me. That may be a little much. if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And before we start into that, I was thinking of something that Brother Tommy said last night about the children in our generation. I remember a day when I was a boy when it seemed like all children went to Sunday school somewhere. At least the Bible was read in school, and there was said the Lord's Prayer, and at least there was a acknowledgement that there was a God. One of the ministries that I have, the Lord has given, it's a privilege. I thank God for the privilege to serve Him. One of the ministries that He's given me that some of you know about is with juvenile, as well as the prisons, federal, state. I don't do much county anymore. But when I have ministry with the juveniles, I lay out note cards. And for them to write down prayer requests if they have something personal they'd like to have prayed about. And I'd like to read you this one here. They often ask in prayer for others, for the family. And remember that some of these kids are from the cities. And let me say this before I read it. Most of us here are adults, and we've had our shot at life, so we're not done yet, I understand that, but we've had our shot at life to make our choices and go our ways and do things or whatever. But these little kids haven't had a chance. They're just starting out. And many of these kids, they're in a mess. I mean, the drugs you all understand. And the things that they're being taught, stuff that you see on TV, you'd never seen on TV before. And these kids, they're not much even given a chance to be a kid anymore. These boys that come out to the preaching at the juvenile, they come out voluntarily. Nobody forces them to come. And I preach, and they come back. This boy writes, he says, please pray for my brothers, Ryan and Christopher, that God would keep them safe. Also for my father, who is in Graterford State Prison. I don't know if you know much about the prisons in Pennsylvania, but Graterford is our worst. There's murders and killings going on there. He says that the Lord would keep the rest of my whole family safe. And he says, and have God tell my mother that I love her, for she is in heaven. Now, I didn't inquire as to what or how or whatever. A lot of these kids do not have families. I mean, in the sense that, like, we have had families. Sometimes I think we sit in our churches as a whole and kind of pat each other on the back after each Sunday morning. Oh, what a great service we had. Your brother Tommy was talking about last night about the entertainment in the churches and how great things were and whatever. When there's folks out there that need a word, and we need to get to them. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I would like to address the subject this morning of the spiritual state, the spiritual estate of the believer, the spiritual estate of the believer. And reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as we understand that the folks in Corinth, they had their problems there in the church. And Paul speaks something to them that I believe should speak to each one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and starting with, we'll start with verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let him get in a ring. I want to concentrate really on verse 12 there. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. If you're saved here today, if you've been born again in under the ministry of the Holy Ghost, you have not received the spirit of the world. You have received the Spirit which is of God. I'll say that again. You have not received the spirit of the world. You've received that spirit which is of God, and that's why you can understand the things of God. And that's not of you, that's of God. No, Jesus said, no man can come unto me, John 6:44, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. That God's in that work and business in our lives, drawing us in through the Holy Ghost. John 3, being born of the Spirit, not of the... That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And how is it? Our brother Finnegan is talking to us often about the men at the mission, how some guy comes stumbling in off the street, a drug user, drug seller, lost in all kinds of in sin, and can be the next day telling people what God has done for him. Now, that didn't come out of that man. That came from the Spirit of God. If we have not received the spirit of the world, we need to understand that. We need to realize that. We need to live by that and understand that we have, if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God. And we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Pray God this morning. I pray that I'd be filled with the Spirit of God. And when I go into prison to preach, I ask God, please fill me with your Spirit and give me what they need, not what I think they need, but you give me what you know that they need. You know, if we could only grasp this, you know, as Paul says there, and we're going to go to a different place here in a moment, but Paul says, and the Word of God says here, he talks about in verse 9, about the things that God has prepared for them that love him. For them that love him. In Romans 8 and verse 28, what does it say? Somebody quote that for me. Romans 8:28. Yes, sir, brother. Most folks just quote the first part. For all things work together for good. They work together for good to them that love God, called according to his purpose. And that's that we can rely on that if we love the Lord. Remember in 1 Corinthians 16:22. You know, if any man love not the Lord Jesus, the test is the love of God. And let me say this, and I'm getting ahead of myself here. But let me say this. If a man has a spirit of the world on him, he may have a profession of faith. He may go to church. He may serve in the church. He may do all kinds of things like Matthew 7:21-23, where the Lord tells us, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. If a man has a spirit of the world on him, you might just want to send your antenna up a little bit and receive the signal that something's not right. Now, I understand that I understand that sometimes Christians do some very strange things and may falter and fall. That's why we are told in Galatians 6:1-2 that you are a spiritual, restore them. If you got a brother that's down, or don't go kick him in the mouth, try to help him, because you could be next. We need to watch. We need to be careful. It's not even entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared. Not even entered into the heart. Sometimes I hear people, I know you do too, folks say, when I get to heaven, you know, I'm going to play golf and eat jelly beans, or, you know, forever. Well, I don't know if there's jelly beans in heaven. There may be some, I don't know. But the things that God has. You know, I was singing, one time I was doing some work where I worked. I've never had a big church. I always had to work in the place where I was working. I was rejoicing in the Lord, and one of the foremen came in to where I was working on some of the tools and so forth. And I said, singing and doing something, I was rejoicing in the Lord. And I said, just think, I said, one of these days, go to heaven, there'll be church all day. He looked, got a very worried look, a very worried look on his face. And he said, no, you can't tell me that that's all they do up there. You know, if a person doesn't love the house of the Lord and the people of the Lord, you know, why would you want to go to heaven? God's heaven, not your idea of heaven. It's like many of these people say that they believe in Jesus too. Like the Muslims, they say they believe in Jesus. They don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible, amen. Same thing with some of these cults and so forth. They don't believe in the Bible Jesus. Brother Tommy was sharing last night about people not to, you know, it's their idea of who God is. But you talk to them about the real Jesus, or give them, you're talking about the truth. You talk to them about the real Jesus, and they don't want to hear about him. Talk about the God of the Bible. Well, I believe in God. We'll start talking, tell them about the God of the Bible and see if they do believe in God. Well, I don't believe in that God, you know. Well, the demons believe in him. They knew. Jesus walked down the street, and when they met him, they fell right down before him. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? They knew who he was. And they cried out who he was. Some of us, sometimes we can't make a peep for Jesus in any way, shape, or form. I remember one time I was in a grocery store. When my kids were little, and I went in the grocery store, I'd go along, start talking to somebody about the Lord, or start singing a hymn or something, you know, just, and my kids would, there goes Dad again, so they'd go down the cereal aisle or something. I remember one guy said to me one time, he says, hey, he heard me, he says, you know, they've got pills for that. And I said, they don't have pills for what I've got. Amen. All right. You notice it says, God hath revealed them to us, verse 10, by his Spirit. I think we often neglect the ministry of the Spirit, and I believe I know biblically why we tend to ignore the ministry of the Spirit and not talk much about it. And I'll get to that in a minute. The Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. If you're born again, been born of the Holy Ghost, been born of the Spirit, you should be knowing some of the deep things about God. Why? Because you went to Bible school, and I'm not against going to Bible school, but because you've been taught the deep things of God by God. Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11, it says, For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Now I understand Jeremiah 17, verse 9, says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we have a hard enough time figuring out yourself, let alone figuring out somebody else. Sometimes I say to the prisoners, I'll be sitting there and I'll say, you don't know what's going on underneath his skin. You don't know what got him here or he whatever. I said, but God knows. The deep things of God. The spirit of a man, you can't even know what another, but God. But sometimes I try to explain. Have you ever done that? If you try to explain yourself or something about yourself to somebody else, and they're just not getting it. I mean, they just don't understand what you're going through or what you're feeling. That's because they're not you. But the things of God. says that the Spirit of God knows those deep things of God. That's the only person who knows those deep things and can bring them to us is the Holy Spirit. That's his job. I think we need to get folks in touch with the Spirit of God. Born of the Spirit. You know, sometimes you're witnessing to somebody, trying to tell them something, and they just don't understand. They just don't get it. Don't get mad at them. There was a while you didn't get it either, till God moved on you. You'll be faithful to give them the word, which is quick and powerful, which is a living word, and pray that the Holy Spirit might break in upon them and stir their heart. And we understand that. If you've been saved, you do understand that's what God did in you. Now the Spirit of God, it says in verse 12, Paul reminds them there, the Word of God speaks to us and says, "We have received not the spirit of the world." That cuts out a lot of stuff, just like that. We didn't receive the spirit of the world. We've received the Spirit which is of God. And we should be spiritually minded. Oh, you're too heavenly minded. I don't know anybody who's too heavenly minded. If you were heavenly minded, you'd have the mind of Christ. And that's what we need, hallelujah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have received not the spirit of the world. And I'll say once again, we're wondering about somebody, whether they're saved, whether they're not. I understand that sometimes it's, you know, we can't make that, you know, we don't have some kind of a meter that we put on somebody and say, yeah, this person's saved. But we do have the meter of the Word of God. If somebody has a spirit of the world on them, it gives cause for thinking. And by the way, I do not mean if somebody's not as spiritual as I am. I don't mean that at all. But there's got to be some work of the Spirit of God, some understanding. Brother Tommy's talking about the Spirit of God revealing truth to us. Well, what truth? The truth, revealing Jesus to us. And that's, let me get on to that. What is the job of the Holy Spirit? If anybody could tell us, we got folks out there telling us the Holy Spirit, you know, it's going to make you do this or that or the other, make you do backflips in the church or something. But if anybody knows what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do, we should be able to get his job description from the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 16, what did he say? That when he has come, he'll do what? He just lays it out. It's the ABC. It's not, you know, not to sit there and scratch your head about it and say, well, I wonder what that means. The prisoners many times have me figure it out. I'll read a verse and I say, what does it mean? Some of them start chuckling. They know what I'm going to do. I'm going to read it again. I said, that's what it means. I was witnessing to, I'm off the track, but I was witnessing to a fellow for some time, and he said, a Bible, you see, you can interpret that, any verse in the Bible, 50 different ways. And I said, okay, I'll go with you on that. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Give me another interpretation. And by the way, I didn't interpret it. I just read it or quoted it. He sat there and he looked at me and he says, well, that one's pretty plain. I said, there's a lot more of them in there that are pretty plain too. And there's enough in there that we may not. I've told people before, if I understood the whole Bible, I'd have to be God. There's things in the scripture that I don't maybe not understand. But the things that I do understand, the things that are plain, see? And even, the things that are plain, many, to the lost person, they just don't get it. And I'm not being critical. They don't get it. The light has not come on. But I tell you what, we can stop right now and thank God that we have received the Spirit, which is of God, who explains to us the deep things of God. So the spiritual estate of the believer is dependent upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit teaching us the deep things of God. Did you know that when we pray, you know, a lot of us we pray, and Jesus talked about, you know, you know, praying thus with himself and whatever. And people, their multitude of prayers and thinking God hears, because their multitude of prayers that God hears. But do you ever think about that? You know, that when we pray, if we're serious with God, we're entering into the holy. I don't know about you, but I have a representative that is seated at the right hand of God who intercedes for me and has opened the door and opened the way. So many of us talk about Revelation 4 and verse 1 as the rapture. Okay. But you know, it says, "Behold, I beheld a door in heaven open." I tell you, I got some news for you. I know who opened that door. If it doesn't mean anything else, it means that there's a door that's open to heaven. And somebody opened it. And he not only opened the door, praise God, he is a door. Amen. But the deep things of God. What's the ministry of the Holy Spirit? John chapter 16. Of course, John chapter 3, we understand that. Jesus talked to Nicodemus and said that he must be born of the Spirit, must be born again, born from above. And that is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Nobody borns themselves. Nobody here born themselves. In John chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus mentions three things. And this is the main task of the Holy Ghost. It has to do with the teaching of truth. He says, when he has come, he'll reprove the world of what? Sin, righteousness, and of judgment. I know when the Holy Ghost started working on me, and I didn't understand what was going on. I was playing college football at the time. I mean, you're running, lifting weights, and I was tired. But I tell you what, I lay around tossing and turning all night till about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning sometimes. It just the burden of my sin was, this weight that I was being reproved of sin. I tell you something else I was being reproved of. It was righteousness. That God was holy and I wasn't. I didn't understand. I wasn't piecing it all together, but in 1-2-3 fashion, because I didn't understand it. But it's like Brother Finnegan said, I may not understand, but God understands. And it was working that God was, you know, righteous. You know what? Let me say this to you as believers. It is very important for you to be a Christian. I don't mean go around with your nose up in the air or whatever, but for you to be the real thing. Because there are people that are watching you. And I don't mean putting on an act either. I mean you follow the Lord right. And the testimony that is there. One of the things I knew I wasn't a Christian, I knew I wasn't saved because I'd seen people that were saved. I knew what a Christian was because I'd met some. Oh, I went to church, sang songs, and did different things. But I knew I was missing something. Something wasn't right. And I'll tell you what I was missing. His name starts with a J and ends with an S, amen. Holy Spirit, sin, righteousness, and judgment. The judgment was ahead. For what I was feeling, that what I was doing wasn't right, and I was going to have to meet God. And one day in a little Baptist church down the road from the college, never been in it before, walked in and stumbled, just kind of stumbled in it one Sunday. I was walking along, said, well, let's go on in. The man in there was preaching the Word of God. I don't think I'd ever, well, maybe I'd heard it somewhere before, but I hadn't heard it. But he was preaching the Word. Make a long story short, he got saved that day. And everything, when I was walking back from the church to the dormitory, I didn't understand what had happened. But something was different. I mean, that burden, I could tell the guys in prison, I used to have muscles. You know, I used to be a weightlift and all that stuff. And when you get that barbell down on your chest, that heavy weight, you know, and 200 pounds, 250 pounds, you know, and you can feel that burden on you. I'm telling you, laying there at night, I could feel that burden on me. It was just like a weight on me. But the day that I called out, "Oh Christ, help me," that burden was lifted. Something was different. And we've not received the spirit that is of the world. We received that spirit which is of God. I love that hymn, "I know not why God's wondrous grace, marvelous grace, to me he hath made known. Nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me, called me, saved me, made me his own." All right, the ministry of the Spirit. In John 16. I want you to notice this. Turn your Bible, please turn to John chapter 16. And maybe this will help you in some things here. And I'm sure many of you know these things already. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Jesus says that when the Spirit has come, he will not speak of himself. He'll guide you into all truth, but he's not going to be speaking about himself. That's one reason maybe we don't concentrate on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because he didn't come into the world to tell us about him. He came into the world to reveal Jesus to us, amen, and teach us about God, the Heavenly Father, that God has loved us, and Jesus had not only died for us, but he lived for us. That life that he lived, perfect life, is placed to our account. Not only his death, we concentrate on the death and on the resurrection. We don't concentrate much on the life that he lived. Our sins went on him. His life that he lived is put in our account. We don't talk much about the ascension when Jesus went back home to heaven and to represent us before his heavenly Father. "Father, forgive them. I've paid the price." Of course, the word of forgiveness, one of the things that I talk about spiritual backfire sometimes. You know, if you're serious with the Lord and you're sensitive towards sin and righteousness and so on, many times you get spiritual backfire, as I call it. That you look at sin and things that you did and you wonder, how can I be forgiven? And you get depressed. And then you're looking at yourself and you're not looking at Jesus. All right, I'm off the track. Okay, he says in verse 13... he says, not speak of himself. In verse 14, he says, he'll glorify me. Back in chapter 15, in verse 26, same thing. He says, the Spirit of truth, he shall testify of me. And notice he says in verse 27 of chapter 15, he says, and you shall testify of me. What am I saying here? Or what is he saying here? That if you've got the Spirit of God... Now, some of these people say, you know, they're filled with the Spirit and all, whatever they say is going on. I have this, and I'm not the test of all people. But in my book, and you can do whatever you want to with it, but in my book, I'd better be hearing something about Jesus coming out of their mouth. Because the job of the Holy Ghost is to teach us about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, amen, hallelujah, Jesus, amen. You look in the Acts chapter 1. In verse 8, we're going to stay here. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, stay there till you receive power, and you will witness. You'll testify of me. You look at Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost comes down upon the church and fills them, and the church going out, chapters 2 through chapter 6, just those few chapters there. If you took a highlighter or an underliner and everywhere it said Jesus, 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 or him, or referring to Jesus, I've often said if you look like you hung up your Bible and shot it with a yellow marker shotgun. Because with their testimony, how did that early church grow? You can say whatever you want, whatever. They grew on telling folks about Jesus. And Jesus was the concentration, and that's what the Holy Ghost was moving on, was the testimony of Jesus. The testimony about Jesus. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, getting back to the ministry of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. I asked the other night about how many of you know a happy Christian? Grumbling, complaining, criticizing, judging. Now we're supposed to have spiritual discernment. I understand that. But there's got to be some joy somewhere. Jesus said in John 15, what did he say? Verse 11, my joy, I give you my joy. Well, let me ask you something. Where is it? If he gave it to you, where is it? John 14, 27, and also John 16, 33, he says, my peace is my joy. He says, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives. Okay, where is your peace? Love, joy, peace. That's a ministry of the Holy Ghost. From the Prince of Peace. I'm running out of time. I want to move on to something else. There's three things. Let me say this. Jesus became one of us. That's that he came and lived among men, took on flesh, and lived among us, and was tired and was hungry and all that. But there was something different about Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus, ever before him or ever since him. I mean, his birth was different. His teaching was different. He spoke as one with authority. And I don't mean he was out there bossing people around necessarily, but when he spoke, even the unconverted said, there's something about this. See? And there should be something about you in your life that's recognizable. Now, I don't mean you have to dress funny or grow a beard or, you know, some of the folks that dress different in that way or whatever. But there's got to be something more to it than just that. There could be something about you. Though you have not received the spirit of the world, but you have received, again, if you're saved here today, you have not received the spirit of the world. You have received the spirit which is of God. And the spirit of God came from the presence and inside of God to explain to you the deep things of God. Amen. His death was different. Remember the one thief, I say in my little pamphlet on the prison ministry that I've written, one of the first things that I have in the front of the book there is, you know, if you planning on going into a prison, I said, if your heart's not in it, stay home. Because they'll pick you out in a minute. Their life depends on reading people. That's how they got in. Some of them got into prison. You know, I can take this guy or I can steal it or I can do the reading situations. They're good at reading things. And if your heart's not in what you're doing, I don't want to say, hey, well, I'm perfect, my heart is. I'm not saying that. But I refer to the thief on the cross. Of course, the Spirit of God was involved. But he said to the other thief, he says, this man has done nothing amiss. There was something recognizable about the Lord Jesus. I mean, even, and God uses means, I understand that. But even on the cross, they nailed him up, and what's the first words out of his mouth? Father, forgive them. What's usually the first words out of our mouth when somebody misuses us? Matthew 12, verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, if I have a glass of water here and I bump it, what comes out? Water. If I got Pepsi in it, out comes Pepsi. If it's Joe, he's got Mountain Dew. But what happens when somebody bumps us? Somebody steps on our toe, cuts in line, or something cuts us off. Oh, bless you, my brother. That's not what comes out. God help us. Even dead, they recognized his difference. Put a guard on that tomb. He just, you know, he said he was going to get, they just thought he just might get up. He said he would. Even Judas. He says, I have betrayed the innocent blood. Heard a preacher say one time, at least Judas made a good deal. At least he got 30 pieces of silver for selling the Lord out. Many times in our daily life, we'll sell the Lord out for less than that. Didn't hear many amens. It's a fact. God help us. Three things I find hard to fathom. When I think of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, I was thinking about this one time and talking around Good Friday and thinking on these things. It's number one, it's hard for me to fathom that any time my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who had a different origin than we have, who came from heaven to planet Earth, who was the very Son of God, who was in contact with God, and Jesus said, "The Father hath not left me, for I always do those things which please my Father," which please Him. It's hard for me to fathom that at any time that the Lord Jesus was without God. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I've heard different explanations. Why did he have to be forsaken? One reason, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 says, "For he himself bore our sins in his body." They were not only on him, he took them into him. And he died, you do whatever you want to with this one, but he died as a guilty sinner. Not that he was a sinner, but he had our guilt in him. And he died under the judgment of God as guilty because he was full of sin, our sin. And God forsook him. Why? Because I deserve to be forsaken. I mean, God should have left me in the dust a long time ago. I don't know about you. Maybe you're pretty good. Okay? I can think of numbers of reasons why God should have forsaken me a long time ago. I've often said to people, it's a good thing I'm not God. There's a lot of people I'd squish like a grape and I'd start with me. But he had to be forsaken in my place. So I would, that is why he can say, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Because I've already forsaken my Son. It's hard to me imagine the Lord Jesus at any time being without God. "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The second thing is, it's hard for me to imagine that any time that the Lord Jesus Christ was without peace. We cried out in a loud voice. Where was the calmness? You know, it says in Isaiah 53, and I have to talk to Dr. Lascelles about this one. You know, we often hear people say, "Well, God turned his back and didn't look." You know, that's taken from the verse that says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold iniquity." Well, if God can't behold iniquity, he would never even look at planet Earth. But Isaiah 53, and there in 10 and 11, verses 10 and 11, says, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. What is travail? That's the word for the bringing forth of a child. Of course, you women here understand that. When the labor starts, things are happening. And the writhing and the pain and the whatever, okay? And the travail, the inner travail of his soul. Jesus, God looks at, the Father looks on that and says, "I'm satisfied." I said to the prisoners, "I'm sure that many of you here think that you can't be forgiven." And many of those who have, you know, professed faith in the Lord, you know, that what you've done is, do you mean that you're, whatever you did is bigger than the value of the Son of God to the Heavenly Father? Do you think God's going to say, "Well, yeah, your sin is more important than what my Son did for you"? He said he'll look at the travail of his Son and be satisfied. God's satisfied. In Jesus. He may not be satisfied with some of us the way we should aim to be well pleasing unto him. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. And the third thing that I find hard to believe or to fathom, when I read about the Jesus of the Bible, in his ministry, and all the things that he did, It's hard for me to imagine at any time that he was dead. Now, I understand that. I mean, you know, we understand, well, yes, he was crucified. But it's hard for me to imagine him lying in a tomb as a lifeless body. That him who is life, in him was life. You know what? And that life was the light of man. You know, that's how you get light. Is that life of Christ is imparted and brought to you, and you're born again and have the life of have Christ living in you. And that light, say, well, you have received light from the Holy Ghost, but that whole ministry of God in you. I need to quit. But even as in the case of Job, when God had pulled away, left Job on his own, in the conflict there with Satan, and Job was not hearing from God. And you remember in chapter 23 and verses 8 and 9, Job says, I went backward, I went forward, I went to the right and the left, I try to find out, I can't find him. Same thing in Job chapter 19, and he says, but I know my Redeemer liveth. Okay, even though worms would destroy my body, I says, I know he's alive. I know he's alive. I may not be seeing him right now. You know, when the skies are covered with clouds, the sun is still up there. And he says in Job 23 and verse 10, he says, but he knows the way that I take. In other words, I know he sees me. He's still there. He sees me. Okay. And even at the forsaken on the cross, and Jesus commits himself, his innermost self, my Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit, even when he couldn't see him. And that's a lesson for you and for me. When we can't see the Lord or think the things are going the way they're going, and those of you who are pastors or you're not pastors, one of the best things you can say, to, at least I feel, that I found helpful in counseling with people, with the believers, and they're going through something, is to say this to them right off the very front end, is don't let your circumstances change who you are. Same thing with Job. He kept referring to God, and sure, he said some things which are out of his humanity, but he kept deferring to God all the way through it. And you keep your eye on the Lord. Job of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual estate of the believer. The spiritual estate of the believer for you is this, that you have not received the spirit of the world. Thank God. You've received that spirit which is of God. Realize that and live by it. You've received that from, that's who you are. Who am I? That's what I am. That's who I am. I've received the spirit of God. And that's what makes the difference. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your ministry in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that you have given from your innermost sanctuary in heaven, your Holy Ghost, that we've not received the spirit of the world, but that we've received that spirit which you have given to us. And Lord, and you have seen fit to call us and draw us and born us again into your kingdom. And Lord, help us to live by that and live in that spirit which you have given to us. Help us to be spiritually minded in all things. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.